These are excerpts from The Pigman by Paul Zindel.
Actually, I hate school. But then again, most of the time, I hate everything. I used to really hate school when I first started at Franklin High. I hated it so much the first year they called me the bathroom bomber. Other kids got elected GO president and class secretary and lab squad captain, but I got elected the bathroom bomber. They call me that because I used to set off bombs in the bathroom. I set off 23 bombs before I didn't feel like doing it anymore. The reason I never got caught is because I used to take a tin can, it's a firecracker, as if you didn't know, and mold a piece of clay around it so it would hold a candle attached to the fuse, you know, one of those skinny little birthday candles. Then I'd light the thing, and it'd take about 8 minutes before the fuse got lit. I always put the bombs in the first floor of Boys John, right behind one of the porcelain unmentionables where nobody could see it. And then I'd go off to my next class. No matter where I was in the building, I could hear the blast. And then when I got home, my mom started in on me. Your father says you're not to have another penny until he speaks to you. What'd I do now? You know very well what you did. No, I don't. Get yourself a glass of milk, but rinse out the glass, she babbled, darting up the stairs. I could tell she just got back from the beauty parlor, because her hair was frizzed like she just rammed her fingers into an electric socket. Mother, your hypertension is showing. Well, that's severed maternal relations for the afternoon.
These are excerpts from Just David by Eleanor H. Porter.
Why, you're just like little people, he cried softly. You've got faces, and some of you are happy, and some of you are sad. And you, big spotted yellow one, you're laughing at me. Oh, I'm going to play you, all of you. You'll make such a pretty song. You're so different from each other.
Ah, fiddles are not played without hands, Ellen, retorted the man severely. Would you have me go to bed and leave a half-drunken, ungodly minstrel fellow in possession of our barn? Tonight, on my way home, I passed a pretty pair of them lying by the roadside, a man and a boy with two violins. They're the culprits, likely, though how they got this far I don't see. You think I want to leave my barn to tramps like them?
No, I suppose not, faltered the woman as she rose tremblingly to her feet. The man puffed for a moment in silence before he took his pipe from his mouth.
Well, sonny, I suppose I may as well tell you. You'll have to know it sometime, seeing as though it won't be no secret long. I've had a stroke of bad luck, Mr. and Ms. Holly has.
This is an excerpt from There's a Hole in the City by Richard Bowes. The connection started to dissolve into static. Where are you, Mags? Ground zero. It smells like burning sulfur. Have you seen Jeffrey yet? She shouted into her phone. Jeffrey is dead, Mags. It's all the horror and tension that's doing this to you. There's no hole. Cops and firemen and brokers all smashed and charred are walking around down here. At that point, sirens screamed in the background. Men were yelling. The connection faded. Mags, give me your number. Call me back, I yelled. And then there was nothing but static, followed by a weak dial tone. I hung up and waited for the phone to ring again. After a while, I realized Marco was standing looking at me, slugging down beer. She saw those kids? I saw them, too. Tuesday night, I was too jumpy to even lie down on the fucking cot. I snuck out with my friend Terry. We walked around. The kids were there, in old historical clothes, covered with mud and seaweed, and their faces all black and gone. It's why I couldn't sleep last night. You talk to the counselors? I asked. He drained the bottle. Yeah, but they don't want to hear what I wanted to talk about. But with me? You're crazy. You understand. The silence outside was broken by a jet engine. We both flinched. No planes had flown over Manhattan since the ones that had smashed the towers on Tuesday morning. Then I realized what it was. The Air Force, I said, making sure it's safe for Mr. Bush's visit. This is an excerpt from The Pig Who Wanted to Become the King by Joshua Brown.
Mother Pig smiled and looked at her son. How do you expect to become the king, she asked, when you are, after all, a pig?
I don't care, said the young pig. I am going to become the king.
And so the young pig went into his mother's kitchen and packed himself a lunch.
I am leaving, he said. I am going to become the king.
Good luck, said Father Pig. Come back and visit us soon.
And so the young pig left home. He walked and walked over hills and through valleys. Soon it was lunchtime. Pig's stomach began grumbling as he looked for a place to stop and eat.
This is from The Adventures of A.G. Bear, Things That Go Snark in the Night by Cynthia Gurin.
Snark!
Came the terrible sound again, sending both A.G. Bear and Isadora screaming and running for the safety of the bathroom. The two of them slammed the door and stood there panting and shaking, quivering with fear. After a moment or two, Isadora began to think. Wait a minute, whispered Isadora. I don't think we're dealing with a monster at all. She opened the bathroom door just a crack and peered out.
Snark, quack, quack,
snored Mrs. Duck.